Brethren, we're going to return this morning to our questions series where the Lord asked a question to a sinner. And we're going to jump way ahead this time. This is over in John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is God our Savior, the Lord Jesus speaking. He's asking the question, and He's asking it to a group of religious men. To a group of religious men. Here's what He says, John 5, verse 44. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only, or from the only God, or from the only begotten Son of God? The Lord Jesus had healed a man on the Sabbath day. This man had been lame for 38 years. The Lord commanded him to rise and take up his bedroll and walk. And this was on the Sabbath. And the man obeyed him. He took up his bedroll and he was walking along rejoicing. He hadn't walked in 38 years. And he's walking along and he's rejoicing in what the Lord had done for him. And there were some Jews, men who were trusting in the law, men who were trying to come to God by their works, and they saw this man walking, rejoicing, happy, on the Sabbath day. And the law said you could do no work on the Sabbath day. You couldn't carry your bed on the Sabbath day. And here's this man walking along carrying his bedroll on the Sabbath day. And these men rebuked him sharply. They rebuked him sharply. Look here in verse 10. It says, the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. That's all they could see. That's all they could focus on was that this man, to them, was breaking the law. The law of the Sabbath. Well, when he told them that it was Christ who healed him on the Sabbath day, and it was Christ who commanded him to take up his bed and walk on the Sabbath day, then these men persecuted Christ. It means with their tongues they reproached him and reviled him. They called the lawgiver a lawless, sinful man. That's what they did. And not only that, these men who were so zealous for keeping the law purposed in their heart to kill God, the lawgiver, to kill Christ. The Lord Jesus declares plainly what their problem was. He declares plainly what their problem was. And He says right here, this is the problem of the heart, right here, verse 44. How can you believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? The Pharisees gave honor to one another. They gloried in one another. They praised one another and talked about how good you look in that priestly garment. How good you look because you know all the scriptures and can quote all the scriptures. And how good you are for keeping the law. Or they were hard on one another, condemning one another, which made the other one want to strive that much harder to get their approval and their praise and their honor and their glory. So they were always striving to get the honor and the glory one from another. Rather than seeking the honor that comes from God. Here's God standing in their midst. Here's Christ, the lawgiver, standing in their midst. And they don't seek to honor Him and glorify Him. And they don't seek that honor that comes from God alone. A sinner cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ while seeking honor and glory for himself. It can't be done. It just simply can't be done. Sinners who covet honor and who covet praise of men. And that's what all men do by nature. Sinners who covet for themselves that honor which belongs to God will not and cannot believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's impossible. All who covet honor for themselves are idolaters. That's idolatry. Did you think idolatry was, you know, having some carved out statue and you bowing down and worshiping that statue? That statue is an extension of self. That's all that is. And everybody that worships themselves, anybody that covets honor and glory for themselves, they're an idolater. They idolize themselves. That's what an idolater is. An idolater. They want men to glorify them rather than giving God all the glory by resting in Christ. Now, men will be religious. Men don't have a problem being religious. These men were religious. Just so long as their religion gives them just a little bit of room to glory in themselves, in what they did. They don't mind being religious, but give me a little glory for what I've done. That's what the natural man wants. But Christ says men cannot believe on Christ who want honor and glory for themselves. The desire for the praise of men prohibits faith in Christ. That's what he said. How can you believe? You're seeking honor from somebody else. You can't believe on God. Seeking honor and glory for what you've done prohibits faith in Christ. There's no room in the same heart for Christ to have all preeminence and you have some of the preeminence. It just won't do. If we would seek the honor of God, how do I seek the honor of God? We have to worship God in spirit. Spirit we don't have. We have to rejoice only in the Lord Jesus Christ, something natural man just can't do. And we have to put no confidence in the flesh. And that's certainly something natural man can't do. When all you are is flesh, all you want to exalt is flesh. Now, let's go back to the beginning and let's hear what the Lord taught. And let's see, first of all, the honor that comes from God. And then we'll see how that men covet the honor that comes from men. First and foremost, the honor that God gives to His children, to His people, that honor, all the gifts and all the glory, everything God has for His people, His approval, His acceptation of His people, all of it, is in one. It's all in Christ. And Christ is that, He's that honor that God has given to His people. Look at back at verse 17. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." This was Christ's answer to these religious men when they came to Him and asked Him what He was doing breaking the Sabbath. That they said, "You're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath." And He said this, "My Father works hitherto, and I work." By this statement, Christ is declaring that He is God. That's what He's declaring to them. He is God. He's declaring to them He and His Father are one. And He's declaring to them that the works of His Father are His works, and His works are His Father's works. And then when He said here to them that Christ declared that His Father had not ceased to work from the beginning. When He said, "My Father's not ceased to work from the very beginning, and I've not ceased to work from the beginning." He's telling them that their works are one. He's telling them that He's come to do the works of God His Father. Look at verse 19. It says, "Then answered Jesus and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what the Father doeth. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these that you may marvel." Christ is standing here before these men, and He's saying, here's why I did this work on the Sabbath day. Because from eternity, My Father and I have been one in the work of saving His people. He's saying from eternity, God the Father showed me what He would do, all things that He would do in the salvation of His people. And He put that work in my hands and sent me here to do the work. My Father's been working the works of salvation from the very beginning. We've been healing lame sinners from the foundation of the world. And He says, and so have I. Because God the Father sent me to do the work. So everything that the Father does, I do. And Christ, when He came to this earth, that's God doing the works that He would have to be done. That's God sending His own Son to do the works of redeeming His people, of honoring His law, of bringing all honor and all glory to Himself. That's what Christ is in this earth. He sent him to work the works his people couldn't work, to fulfill this law. He didn't come to break the law. They're accusing him of breaking the law. He did not come to break the law, and he never broke the law. He came to fulfill the law, and he came to do it for his people. Now, from his throne in glory, he's still working the works of the Father. He's calling out his people. He's sending the gospel to them. He's calling them out. He's quickening them. He's giving them life. He's bringing them to his feet. He's bringing them to honor and glorify God by worshiping Christ. He's doing the works of his Father. And Christ said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. The night comes when no man can work. Whenever this day of grace is over, nobody else can do anything for you. We cannot save ourselves. Christ must work the works of God. And then Christ declared this too. He declared that in healing that man, he told them what he was showing forth by healing that lame man. Now listen to this in verse 21. He says, "For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." Look at verse 25. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself." This is what we see typified in him walking up to this lame man and speaking, "Arise!" And this man arose and walked. We're lame. We're dead in trespasses and in sins by nature. But when Christ sends his gospel, he speaks the word. And he speaks life into the word. You know how in the beginning he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Well, he comes to the heart and says, "Let there be light," and there's light. And then for the first time, you see the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. He says, "Let there be life," and there's life. He says, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus comes forth. Bound head to foot in grave clothes. But he's alive now. That's what happened with this man at the pool of Bethesda. This lame man. Christ did that work. Now Christ is teaching these men. This is what he's doing before these men. What I'm doing right here, right now. He's teaching his accusers. He's declaring to all men that will hear him that he is God. He is the Christ. He is the Sabbath rest of his people. He's the righteousness of the law. He is the salvation that God has sent, who is the Savior of his people. That's what he's declaring to these men right here. And then he declares something else. He declares this, that the only way to honor the Father is by honoring the Son. Verse 22. He says, "The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him." Now these Jews were guilty of seeking honor that comes from other men. That's what they were guilty of. They wanted glory from other men. And Christ says to them here, the only way that you're going to receive any honor, is by honoring the Son of God. That's it. This other stuff that you're calling honor, that you get from men, the praise of men, the honors of men, all of these things, how men, you want to stand in the good smile of your friends, and you want them to praise you. You wouldn't dare become a believer, because what will my friends think? That's seeking the honor of men, the applause of men, rather than the honor of God. Well, preacher, how can I receive the honor of God? Look at what Christ said there, verse 23. How do I seek the honor that comes from God? Verse 23. He said, all men should honor the Son. That's how. You mean to get the honor that comes from God, I have to honor the Son? Glorify the Son? Yes, glory only in the Son. He says, even as they honor the Father. Verily, verily. Now he's saying this is utmost important. Well, how do I honor the Son? Well, he's going to tell you here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on God that sent me. You see, that's how you honor God. You honor God by honoring his Son. You honor God by hearing Christ's word And by believing on Christ, you believe on God who sent Christ. By believing Christ, you're saying God's true. Instead of right now not believing and calling Him a liar. You're saying you believe God is true. And those who honor God, God honors. In 1 Samuel 2:30, the Lord God of Israel said, "Them that honor me, I will honor. Them that honor me, I will honor. Them that glorify me, I'll honor." Here's the honor that comes from God. What's the honor that comes to God, comes from God to those who bow to His Son and glory only in His Son and rest in His Son? What's the honor that comes from God? Look at verse 24. He said, "He that believes hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's the honor God gives. God gives eternal life to His people. Eternal life with God. God makes it so that you have assurance in your heart that you'll never come into condemnation ever. God gives you the assurance in your heart that you have passed from death to life. Believer, hear that now. We've passed from death to life. We've left the realm of death. There's some of you sitting here right now, you're in the realm of death. You're dead. You dwell amongst dead people. You love dead people. You love dead things. You love the vanity of dead people. You love the honor of dead people. You want the praise of dead people. Think how vain it would be to look out into a graveyard and see one corpse wanting another corpse to praise him for just how pretty he is. That's us right here who don't have life. Who don't believe on the Son. But you who believe, you've passed from that. You've left the graveyard. You've come out of the tomb. You've entered into life. Been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. And that can't be undone, brethren. By nothing. By anything. It can't be undone. Now, do what Christ has commanded. You see here, He stood there and preached the gospel to these men, just like I'm preaching to you. Is there somebody here who can't hear me because you're looking to your works? You can't hear me because you want men to honor you for what you've done? You want men to honor you for either not believing on Christ, or you want men to honor you for doing your works and doing the things that you've done and glorying in your flesh or whatever it is? Which is it? Well, hear me. Hear me like they should have heard Christ. Hear Christ speaking. Believe Him. Believe Him. Cease from your works and rest in Christ. And you'll have everlasting life. That's honoring the Son. And that's honoring the Father. And He honors them that honor Him. He gives everlasting life. Frees you from the condemnation you're under right now. Now, secondly, I want you to see in these religious men what it is to seek honor from men rather than God. Now look back up at verse 18. Way back up at verse 18, because when our Lord made this first statement, when He said, "My Father works hitherto and I work," they didn't hear another word He said from the rest of the time. This is all they were thinking right here, verse 18. "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill Him, because He not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was His Father, making Himself equal with God." That's what happens. Men will come into a service and they'll sit down, and the first statement you make that gives God all the glory and declares Christ to be the God of very God, men's minds just go off in 1,000 directions in enmity against God, trying to figure out how they're going to take Him off His throne and not let Him have dominion in their heart. These men knew that the first thing that they were upset about was that they thought Christ had broke the Sabbath. That was the first thing they were angry about. Now, these men were under the law. They were Jews. They were under the old covenant. They were under the law. But these men didn't understand what the law said. They thought they only saw the law in the letter. That's all they saw was the letter. I'm fixing to tell you about the law of the Sabbath, and in the second hour, I'm going to tell you about the law that says you can't bear false witness. We're going to preach the law today. But I'm going to tell you what the law says. I'm going to show you Christ through the law. I'm going to show you your sin. I'm going to show you Christ through it. Now, let's see that here. The law, this is what the Scripture says. In Colossians 3:16, it says, "The Sabbath is a shadow." That means it's a picture. It's a type. A shadow's not the substance. A shadow's getting it's being cast off of the body. You got the body of a tree and the light shining. The shadow's being cast off the body. The shadow's not the body. It's not the body. The body's the body. And Colossians 3:16 says the Sabbath day, that law was a shadow. Oh, just can you get that? That was a shadow. That's not the substance. It's a shadow. But the body is Christ. The body's Christ. So whatever that Sabbath's saying, it's a reflection of Christ. It's saying it about Christ, whatever that shadow's saying. And this is what these men missed. What's that law saying? Well, that law that they gave in the fourth commandment of the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 20, it says, it commanded for them, it said, to rest on the seventh day. They could work 6 days, but rest on the seventh day. And this was the reason given. Because God created the world in 6 days, and then God rested in the seventh day from all His works. That's what the law said. That's a shadow. That means it's a picture. That means it's a type. That means it. If you want to trace it back to the true meaning and the true substance, you got to go back to the body. So let's go to the body. Who's it picture? Who's it typify? That was a shadow. When God rested in the beginning, He created the world in 6 days, and then He rested in the Sabbath. He's finished His works and rested in the Sabbath. And when He did that, in the very beginning of the world, it pictured that God rested in eternity. He rested from all His works of salvation whenever He trusted the whole work into the hands of Christ Jesus, His Son, who is the Sabbath. That one in whom God rested, that one in whom God trusted, He's the Sabbath. He's the rest of God. Because God didn't have to come and do the work. God the Father didn't have to come and do the works Himself. His Son would come forth and do all the works for Him. He could rest. And likewise, when believers are brought to faith in Christ, you know what we do? We rest. We stop working and we rest in Christ. Look at Hebrews 4:10. Let me show you that. Hebrews 4:10. Now these men wouldn't hear that. These men wouldn't hear this because these men put confidence in their law keeping. They wanted the honor that come from men for their law keeping. So they're not hearing what Christ said in it. And He said, how can you believe when you're looking for that kind of honor? But look here, Hebrews 4, look at verse 9. There remaineth a rest to the people of God, to the true children of God. There remains a Sabbath of rest. There really does. Now, the religious man, the Pharisee, like these men standing here rejecting Christ, they hear that and they say, see there, you still got to keep the Sabbath day. Read on. For he that is entered into Christ's rest, there's our Sabbath. He also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. Do you see that? There's our Sabbath. There's our Sabbath. We enter into rest. We keep a Sabbath. We enter into rest in Christ through faith. You keep that law just like you keep every other law through faith in Christ. You see, no man ever kept the Sabbath. They didn't keep it the first day God gave it. And no man's ever kept it since. You think there's ever been a man, ever, that stopped working on the seventh day, on a Saturday, and in his heart of hearts, didn't think about all the money he could be making if he was out there working? You have to have one thought ever crossed. If it did, he broke the Sabbath. He broke the Sabbath. There's not a man ever kept any law, much less the Sabbath, except the one who is the Sabbath. Okay, now, let's move along. Here's the second reason these men wanted to kill Christ, and it goes hand in hand with the first. These things go hand in hand together. They wanted to kill Christ because He made Himself equal with God. And that's what he did. He said he's God. And they heard him loud and clear. And that's why they wanted to kill him. Christ declared to them that though the works were finished in the decree and purpose of God from eternity, that he had come to work those works which the Father sent him to do. But you see, because all they were so offended that he said he was God, you get this. This is sort of like why the devil got angry. When he found he was a created angel, he finds out Christ is going to be exalted above him as a man. And here you got these men who are just little devils, and they're wanting the honor and the praise and the glory for themselves. And here they see another man who not only says he's more exalted than him, he says he's God. And all that honor and glory they wanted, he just took from them and said, I'm the only one getting that. And they didn't like that. So they couldn't hear the gospel he preached when he said, I've come to work these works of God. He said, here are the two my Father works and I work. And they couldn't hear him because they couldn't get over the fact that he was stealing their fire. When the fullness of time was come, though, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. That's what He was telling them. And Christ did it. He redeemed His people. He fulfilled the law. He took the law out of the way. He nailed it to the cross so that all His true people are freed from the law. That's what redemption is. Redemption is purchasing His people from the bondage of the law, from the debt of the law, from all we owe from the law. That's redemption. To just bring a man back under the law is to cancel out redemption. He redeemed. Now listen, these men wouldn't, and they couldn't hear Christ and believe on Christ because their hearts and minds were set on doing the law themselves. They sought for themselves the glory that belongs to God the Father, His Son, in fulfilling the law. That glory belongs to Christ, and they wanted that glory. And so when Christ told them He came to do it, they couldn't hear Him. They couldn't believe on Him. They were focused on being honored by one another, and they couldn't bow to Him for that. And He said, how can you believe that seek honor one from another rather than that honor that comes from God? Many are zealous in religion, but it's not according to knowledge. They're going about to establish their own righteousness. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. There was God's righteousness standing right before them. And here's men that were ignorant of God's righteousness. They were ignorant that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. And the way they manifested it was they would not believe on Christ. A man can say he believes on Christ with his lips and in his heart be going about to establish his own righteousness. And that's what a host of folks are doing. And Christ stood there. That's what Romans 10. Paul said that in Romans 10. They're zealous, but it's not according to knowledge. And then Paul went on, and he said this, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, all you do is believe on Him. There's righteousness. There's salvation. It's believing on Christ, and His righteousness will be yours. The salvation He's accomplished will be yours. And Christ told them that very thing. He stood right there and He told them. He said, He that heareth my word and believeth on Him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. But they just couldn't hear Him. They were too busy working. They couldn't hear Him. All right, listen to this. The other thing these men missed came in the healing of the lame man. I'm going to be very brief here. They missed this beautiful thing Christ did. Can you imagine this man had been lame for 38 years? Wouldn't you just have a little compassion and rejoice if you saw somebody that had laid in the same spot for 38 years get up and be walking and be fit as a fiddle? Wouldn't you at least say, man, I'm so glad for you. I'm happy for you. Not these fellas, because he did it on the Sabbath day. He did it on the Sabbath day. Okay, you've seen fellas like this. They couldn't smile and rejoice about nothing. They looked like they could eat oats through a well bucket. They just mad all the time because they're looking for somebody that's breaking the law. And that just causes one man to seek honor and glory from another man. You know what they were doing? Here's exactly what they were doing. Christ comes to save this lame man. or comes to heal this lame man. And that's us. We're laying there lame. Here we are. We're dead in sins. All right? The lame man, he tried by his own strength to enter the pool. And the first one to get in that pool would be healed at a certain season. And so when the water's troubled, he starts struggling trying to get into that pool. He's trying to work his way to get into this cure, new cure he's found. And if he can get there, maybe he'll be cured. And Christ came along and Christ cured him. And you know what? He stopped trying to get in that pool. He stopped working to try to find some new cure to save himself. He ceased from his works and he rested in Christ. He rested in Christ. Why? Because now he's whole. You'd be really foolish for that well man to go back over there to that pool now and say, let me dip back in this pool and see if I can get well. Men will say, man, you're well. What are you doing back in this pool? Well, you're well, believer. What are you doing back in that pool in the law trying to add to what Christ did? No. I'm well. I'm resting now. You want to honor Him? Do so. Honor Him. Don't do it for righteousness. Don't do it for justification. Don't do it for sanctification. We're righteous and holy in Him. Now, what were these men doing? Look over at Galatians 6. I'll show you what these men were doing. These men wouldn't bow to Christ because these men were the men who had the power to yoke and discipline fellows and bring them in correction and force them into obedience. When they saw this lame man, they said, this is the Sabbath day. Put down your bed. You go back over and lay down and act like you're sick again. Why were they doing that? Why? If they bow to Christ, they got to give up all that. If they bow to Christ, they got to throw the whip away. If they bow to Christ, they can't get the glory from men anymore. Men will say, boy, what you told him was right, preacher. You put him right where he needs to be. I think we ought to put him on church watch and watch him. Yeah, let's do that. Let's watch him a little while. Let's send some investigators over to his house and check him out. Yep. And when we get him all lined out, I'll pat you on your back and you pat me on mine. We have done a good job with this boy. We have got him in line. They don't say that, but that's what's going on in the heart. Look here. How do you know that? Galatians 6:2. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to keep the law in some regard, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they might glory in you, what they made you do. And how can you believe, Christ said, when you receive honor one of another, and seek that not that honor that comes from God? If we begin to attempt, look back up at verse 1, Galatians 6:1. If we try to attempt to force others into obedience, that's just what we're doing. We carry around, believer, we carry around an old legal Pharisee with us all the time in our old man of flesh. And he's always finding fault with somebody else. If a fellow believer does something for you, and he wants to serve and help for the honor of God, receive what he's done without criticizing it and without acting like he didn't do it up to your standard. Why? When have you ever done anything up to God's standard? Well, I'm just wanting to serve him because I love him. So's your brother. So even if it don't measure up to my standard, I'm going to receive it because it's the motive. It's the heart. It's the desire to honor God. It's not the perfection of the work. It's not the quality of the work. It's what was the heart behind the work. See what I'm saying? Look here, verse 1. If we start yoking and binding people, we're going to be just like those Pharisees. What do? We give God the glory. We give Christ the glory. We preach the truth and wait on Christ to do the work. Look here. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work. You, in other words, you rest in Christ yourself to do this work, and then shall you have rejoicing in your own heart and not be rejoicing in what you made that other man do. You see what I'm saying? He's saying there, you prove your own work. you yourself humble yourself to the feet of Christ and trust Christ to work obedience in your brother through the gospel, and then when you do that, you'll have rejoicing in your own heart that Christ did the work rather than you rejoicing in what you made somebody do. You see what I'm saying? And because here's the thing, if we start thinking we have the power to do it when we're nothing and don't have the power, we deceive ourselves. We deceive ourselves. See, we don't want that honor. That honor goes to Christ. That's His honor. That's His glory to work obedience in His people. What do you and I do? He says, you just carry their burden. You put up with them. And now all their complaining and all their griping and all their troubles, and if they need you to alleviate them in some way, you help them out. But you just bear their burden and wait on Christ to do the work. That's faith working by love. That's what that is. Believing on Christ and doing what you're doing out of love for Him and your brother, waiting on Him to do the work. So here's what he said. Believe on Christ. Rest in Christ from trying to justify yourself. Trust Christ to work obedience in His people. And he said this, God honors those that honor Him. That's what it is to seek the honor that comes from God. It's to glorify His Son in all things. He must have the preeminence. Amen. There's a